At least four UN peacekeepers are dead after Israeli planes bombed a UN observer post in southern Lebanon. UN Chief Kofi Annan says the post was clearly marked. Israel says the strike was a mistake and deeply regrets the deaths. The news is likely to complicate today's meeting in Rome, where diplomats are discussing ways to end the fighting and the possibility of creating an international peacekeeping force.
To hear how such a force might work, we turn to Richard Armitage. He was at the Pentagon during the Reagan administration when American forces served as peacekeepers in Lebanon. Most recently, during President Bush's first term, Richard Armitage was the number two official at the State Department. He's skeptical a peacekeeping force can be put together.
I actually don't think this is a very real possibility. First of all, there are very few nations in the world who have sufficient troops to take on a mission, whether it's a robust mission of disarming Hezbollah, which would mean fighting, or whether it's a mission of being interspersed between the two warring camps. And the numbers of people involved and the length of time of their involvement are still to be worked out and have to be worked out by military planners. But I suspect talking in terms of months is not correct. That you'd have to be talking in terms of years for a duration of mission.
Well, is there any value in a situation like this for an international peace force if it can't fight or is not allowed to?
No, if the rules of engagement wouldn't allow it to fight, and if they're not very robust, it would not be a good situation. I find a lot of chatter about this peacekeeping force, but I find very few people putting their hands in the air saying they've got troops who are willing to do it. No matter the mission, it would be a long-term involvement because I don't think you'd expect the government of Lebanon or the Lebanese armed forces to be able to do any of the heavy lifting for a long time to come.
And what kind of troop levels would one have to be talking about?
Well, I saw a level thrown out of 10,000. It looked to me like it came up out of thin air. I am unaware of any military planners anywhere putting paper to pencil, or pencil to paper, excuse me.
Or any countries putting their hands up to say...
No, none at all. It all sounds like a great idea, but sorry, each of us are busy with our own problems.
And is that basically it, or is there also a consideration that some countries might be acceptable to one side and not acceptable to the other?
Well, I suspect the United States, if we had excess troops, which I don't believe we have, we would fall in that category, and so do the British. We'd be seen, I think, as much more partial to Israel, and hence would not be acceptable.
You were an assistant secretary of defense back in 1982 when a peacekeeping force was sent into Lebanon.
Right.
Multinational force stationed there, but ultimately forced to withdraw. Talk to us about that and what we might draw from that.
It was a very troubled time, actually. And sooner rather than later, we became involved or were seen as taking sides in someone else's civil war. And ultimately, we lost 241 naval and marine personnel.
In the bombing.
Yes, in the October 83 bombing.
Are there parallels between that peacekeeping force and now?
Well, I remember with stunning clarity one of our Israeli interlocutors sitting in my office telling me that don't worry about this Peace in Galilee operation. We understand our neighbors very well. We understand them better than anyone. We know all the dynamics of the situation in Lebanon. And that turned out not quite to be the case. I suspect that people in government now are also hearing that from Israel. Don't get me wrong. If I thought that this air campaign would work and would eliminate Nasrallah and the leadership of the Hezbollah, I think it would all be fine. But I fear that you can't do this from the sky and that you're going to end up empowering Hezbollah and perhaps introducing a dynamic into the body politic in Lebanon that will take some great period of time to recover from.
An element into the body politic that as yet we do not know?
I think we do not know. And we're not, as far as I'm concerned, using all the levers that we have, such as having the Secretary of State talk to the Syrians. I think they want to get involved. I think they want to become more central to a solution. And you might as well give them the opportunity. If they step up to it, fine. If they don't, we'll know them for what they are.
The administration has made it pretty clear that they're not interested in talking directly to Syria. Why draw that bright of a line?
I don't know. I think they've talked themselves into this. Their feeling is that Syria has to just step up to this without any discussion with the U.S. and do the, quote, right thing, unquote. My own view is, in any of these diplomatic maneuvers, You have to have a dialogue where two sides see each other as having roughly equal opinions. We, of course, feel that we're entirely in the right. I happen to feel we are in large measure in the right. But we have to be able to sit and listen to the Syrians in this case and see if they have the desire, or the courage, and the wisdom to get involved in a positive way. We get a little lazy, I think, when we spend all our time as diplomats talking to our friends and not to our enemies.
One problem in 1983 was that the American force was seen as taking sides. Coming in neutral, it thought, and then seen as taking sides and ended up a target. First of all, is that accurate?
Well, it's completely accurate. We were there as a peacekeeping presence. And just by the way, in military terminology, presence doesn't mean anything. No military man knows how to be a presence. But at the same time we were interspersed among the warring camps, we had increasing U.S. military involvement with naval gunfire and trainers and advisors on behalf of the Amin Jamal government. We lulled ourselves, we the United States, particularly the U.S. Marine Corps, into a delusion that we were immune to massive unconventional attack because we were a peacekeeping presence.
Would this time in Lebanon be different because any peacekeeping force would go in taking sides really from the beginning of necessity, which is to say it would be there against Hezbollah?
I think the disarmament of Hezbollah will be an extraordinarily difficult situation, and I think that's what's going to keep many nations from putting their hands in the air and volunteering for the mission. They're not prepared to fight against an unconventional non-governmental organization, if you will, called Hezbollah.
And are nations thinking better to not go in the first place than to go in and then have to withdraw?
Well, I think absolutely. And there's been no military planning anywhere, which I'm aware, that would sort of sketch out the dynamics and the dimensions of such military presence, not to mention the rules of engagement, how robust they are, how violent they are. So we're an awfully long way, it would seem to me, from having any ability to have any forces interposed between the warring camps.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Ms. Montaigne.
Richard Armitage was Deputy Secretary of State during President George W. Bush's first term. Tomorrow, we'll have another discussion about the fighting in Lebanon and a look at the Bush administration's vision for a new Middle East.